When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the first sentences of the Declaration of Independence. This week we celebrate the 242nd anniversary of the signing of this extraordinary document, which gave birth to and formed the foundation of our beloved country. The Declaration is a great and noble document. This is especially true from our particular perspective as Christians, because it expresses many ideals that are very Christian. For instance, it affirms that there are in fact certain self-evident truths, objective truths which are always valid, no matter what we think about them. And it affirms that the laws of nature that are behind these truths, the laws of nature come from God, and that these laws are the source of the rights which we cherish. 9 of the men who signed that declaration went on to die for those principles in the American Revolution. And for the last 2.5 centuries, many of our ancestors, maybe you yourself or members of your immediate family, went to war for those same principles, and some are at war even now. These Americans have made many terrible but beautiful sacrifices, some even the ultimate sacrifice of laying down their life. This is a great country, one to die for, but also one to live for. Capable of wondrous and noble achievements, but unfortunately also capable of terrible failures. One of the most important and Christian ideals expressed in the Declaration of Independence is the notion of certain inalienable rights. But when our forefathers enshrined these rights in the Declaration, they presumed two things. First, that those rights were inalienable precisely because they came from God, not from any man, not from any government. And second, that those rights were inalienable only to the extent that they were used in conformity with their just and good purpose, as defined by that God who gave them to us. They presumed, in other words, that those rights were subject to the commonly accepted moral principles and structures of the American people of 1776, the basic principles of traditional Christian morality. But lately, we seem to have forgotten some of that, as those rights have sometimes taken on a whole new or even perverse meaning. Think for a moment of the modern notions of the rights that we call life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's begin with liberty. Liberty was critical to the founders because they wanted people to be free to become the best they could be. Freedom to become, not to degenerate. Freedom to accept all the good things that God gives us, to lift ourselves up, our families, and our communities to be great. Not freedom to waste your God-given gifts and talents, destroy your family, or betray your community. Now, it's true, when we acknowledge that people have freedom to become, we also acknowledge that they have great freedom not to become, or to become bad. Still, that is not why God gave us freedom, nor is it why the founders enshrined that right. And the first, in today's first reading for the Book of Wisdom, we read, God fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them. God creates us to be good, and God gives us the freedom to choose. As Moses tells us elsewhere, he says, I have set before you life and death, therefore choose life. God gives us the liberty to choose, but he doesn't give it to us so that we can choose what is evil, but so that we can choose what is good and to be good. This leads us to another right that is so terribly misunderstood today, the right to pursue happiness. To the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the term pursuit of happiness had a well-developed meaning. Now, it's true that there was a lot of debate over what exactly constituted happiness and the pursuit thereof, but it was all within a certain very narrow, specific philosophical parameters. For example, some maintained that happiness was basically equivalent to living a virtuous life. Others argued that happiness was about a sense of safety and security. And still others argued that it had to do with an overall sense of well-being. But absolutely no one thought it meant what most people nowadays seem to think it means, the right to pursue pleasure. Mix that erroneous notion with the erroneous notion of liberty we have today, and you have something that no American had in mind in 242 years ago, a freedom to do whatever makes you feel good. That was nowhere in the minds of Americans 242 years ago. By any standard, happiness and pleasure are not the same thing. The immediate pleasure sought by a teenager in drugs or alcohol or sex or thrill-seeking will never lead to the happiness of that same man or woman of 40 years old. The lonely old man or woman who cheated on their spouse or neglected their children or drank away every paycheck may have had a lot of fun back then, but now in their loneliness, no one would call them happy. Pleasure is a cup gulped greedily and in haste, but then all you have left is an empty cup. As we read today, God formed man to be imperishable. In the image of his own nature, he made him. To reach our full potential as the image of God, to fill the cup of life with his goodness. This is true happiness. And finally, we think about the inalienable right to life. As Scripture tells us today, God did not make death into the world by the envy of the devil. Now, this doesn't mean that it's always a sin to kill a human being. For example, in war, we find over and over again in the Old Testament, God led Israel in battle and helped them to kill those who were trying to kill them. Sometimes wars must be fought for just reasons. Without addressing the right and wrong of any particular war, if we look carefully at our general approach to each war, we can see the effects of the fundamental importance the founders placed on the right to life. Most especially, we see it in the way all Americans are so concerned about the possible death of any innocents in the war. And this is the essence of our founders' understanding of the right to life, that a man, woman, or child who is innocent of crimes or injustices has a right to live a life of liberty, pursuing true happiness. Still, it amazes me that we Americans can be so concerned, rightly so, about the right to life of innocent civilians in war, while at the same time, so many Americans deny that same right to life to the most innocent American civilians, unborn babies. Thousands raise loud protests against soldiers when they're accused of war atrocities, but how many of those same people will raise a cry against doctors who abort innocent babies? or scientists who destroy embryos for experimentation, or politicians who give them money to do all that? What about the inalienable right to life and the pursuit of happiness of unborn babies? I believe with all my heart that we truly live in the greatest country on earth. And yet sometimes we know that we've lost sight of the meaning of the founding principles upon which this greatness was built. And today many people are definitely doing that. What can we do about that? We do what Jairus did in today's gospel. We go to Jesus. We plead for his help. Bring him to our troubled nation and believe that he can and will save us. America needs Jesus. It needs a new, if you will, a new Christian American revolution. Not one based in violence or hatred, but in truth and love. Armed not with swords or guns or bombs, but with the simple principles of our founding, enlightened by the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Not forcing our religion on our countrymen, but simply exercising those liberties which are the freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Friends, we must exercise our God-given rights to go out and to declare the truth about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We must invite our countrymen to live in the true freedom that only the truth and grace of Jesus can give. To live life in the love of Christ. To have life in its abundance. And to pursue the holiness of life that will fulfill our true potential and our true happiness in this world and in the world to come. Some say that America has gone too far, that we can't recover what we've lost. It seems hopeless. But you know, it must have seemed pretty hopeless to Jairus, and when his friends came and told him, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" To those who think our cause is hopeless, you must say, as Jesus did, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." Some will ridicule you, as they did Jesus. But then remember what Jesus said. "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." Today, we thank the good Lord for the birth of a great nation, born to defend the God-given rights of its citizens. For 242 years, men and women have bravely fought and died to defend this nation and those rights. But today, as you rightly celebrate her greatness, do not be afraid to recognize her failings. And do not be afraid to bravely fight to save her. Do not be afraid to proclaim the true meaning of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do not be afraid. Just have faith in Jesus Christ. God bless America, and praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.